Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rebbe. Eved, we have an Eved Kanani, Shemnosa Bas Chayrin, that married a regular Jewish woman, Bifnei Rabbi, in front of his owner. His owner was there as he married this woman, Yatzel Cheres. That's proof that he's free, because certainly his owner would not have allowed him to marry such a woman, who an Eved Kanani obviously may not marry, unless he had freed him. And not only says the Samri Shainim, that the Gersa in Agamara is, not only is he to be considered a free Eved, but Samri Shainim suggests that what the owner is now obligated to do is give him a shtar shichur. But the Rosh says that this obligation is a chiv derabbanan, because the Rosh explains we don't want to have a situation that later on there should be a dispute and that the owner should say, I never freed him. So in order that he should have valid proof that his owner freed him, he has the shtar shichur in his file that proves that he's truly a free Eved Kanani. The Torah, quoting Derma, disagrees. And he says that although the fact that he's getting married to a Bas Chayrin and the owner is not saying anything is clearly an indication that he was freed, but that is the equivalent of Edom. We just have the episode of him marrying and the owner not saying anything. And we know that everything to be considered halachically valid has to be in front of Edom. So the only way we could have that is by having a shtar shichur with Edom signed on it. Amale Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan quoted this halacha, and he quoted this halacha in the name of Rebbe. You have such a wonderful chiddush, you have such a wonderful halacha that you heard from Rebbe. And I learned the brisa that the chachamim actually don't agree with this, because the brisa says if somebody wrote to his shivcha knanis hare at mukadeshesli, and he gave it to his shivcha with the purpose of marrying his shivcha knanis, it's obvious that a Jewish man is obviously not allowed to marry a shivcha kananis. So the fact that he gave this type of a document, that he's anxious to marry the shivcha kananis, is clearly an indication that he wants to free her so that he should be able to marry her. So again, even though he gave her this type of a document, the fact that even though he wants to marry her, but the fact that there is no clear document indicating so, then it's not a proof that she was freed. The pasuk says, "V'yava Yosef as the bosom ra alaviyam," and Rashi explains that kol ra shayroy ba'achiv, whenever he saw his brothers do something. His brothers, Bnei Leah, whenever he saw his brothers who were Bnei Leah doing something inappropriate, he would tell it to his father. And one of the things that, amongst the things that he said to his father was, that his brothers were eating Eva Menachai, Mezalzel Bnei Shvachas, that his brothers were disrespecting the children of Bila and Zilpa, Lekroisim Avodim. The pasuk says, V'hunar, the pasuk in describing Yosef, says V'hunas bnei Bilas bnei Zilpa neshei aviv v'yava Yosef as dibasim ra. He brought to his father's attention what the way they were treating. So the Mefarshim ask, the Chasam Sofer asks, that the halacha the Gemara Masechta Ksubis Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph teaches us is chayv adam b'kvoid eishes aviv. The person has to show respect to his father's wife. So how could the Shvatim not have shown respect to the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, who were the wives of Yaakov Avinu. But here we have a machlokes between Rameh Chachamim. If somebody marries his shivcha, is that a proof that he freed her? Rameh says it is a proof. Chachamim say it isn't a proof. So he suggests that was the machlokes of Yosef and his brothers. Yosef was under the impression that the shvachos were freed when Yaakov Avinu, like Rameh just said, when Yaakov Avinu married them. So if the shvachos were freed when Yaakov Avinu married them, so Yaakov Avinu's children have to show respect to them. And they can't call their sons b'nei shvachos. On the other hand, the other shvatim were under the impression that just because Yaakov Avinu married them doesn't mean that they're not avodah, doesn't mean that they're freed. If it doesn't mean that they are freed, so now their children are still the children of shvachos, and there's nothing wrong with calling them b'nei shvachos. So what we see here, the fact that he married her, according to the Chachamim, is not proof that he freed her. Certainly, the fact that an Eved Kanani married a regular Jewish woman is not a raya that the owner freed him. And if that's the case, we now have a question on Rebbe's opinion. Where Rebbe began our shiur today saying that it is a proof, and here we see that the Chacham hold that just because something like this happened, it isn't necessarily an indication that he was freed. Answers the Gemara, this that Rebbe taught us at the beginning of the shiur, that if Eved Kanani marries a Bas Yisrael in front of his owner, it's a proof that he's free, says the Gemara, the way to understand it is K'amar Rabba Bashelet. Rabba Bashelet taught us K'shirabba Nechlai Tefillin, that the fact that his owner put on tefillin, not that the owner, as we'll see soon in the Gemara, the fact that the owner put tefillin on him, that is a proof that he was freed by his owner. And here too, it's not just that the owner saw him marrying this woman. The fact that the owner saw him putting on the tefillin is not a proof. The proof is that Kishraba Isiyosha, that the owner married him off to a Jewish woman. The fact that the owner married him off to a Jewish woman, that is a proof that he indeed freed him. Says the Gemara, Umika Midi, how can we say this? We wouldn't accuse the owner to say that he did something wrong. So we have here a fascinating dichotomy, asked the Gemara. The fact that the owner married off his Eved Kanani to a Shivcha is a proof that the owner freed him. But the fact that he married his Shivcha Kananis is not a proof that that he freed her. Doesn't make any sense. If he's marrying a Shivcha Kananis, he's doing an Aveira. So it's hard to understand that the owner would do something wrong. It's harder to understand or harder to accept, as the Gemara, that the owner did something wrong for himself, and that we could understand, but the owner would not let his over do something wrong. So the Yavetz asks, why is this so difficult to understand? There's a concept of Ein Adam Choyte V'loy Loy. People unfortunately do Averis, asks the Yavetz. But when do people do Averis? He says people do Avera so when they can gain from the Avera. They're not going to do an Avera when they have nothing to gain. So the owner is going to gain that he can marry this woman who he's interested in marrying, even though he's Shivcha Kananis. But he's not going to do an Avera that for his Eved. So the Yavet answers that there's another very important concept, that a person is not going to do an Avera if he doesn't have to. So if there's a way to marry off his Eved, for him to marry his shivcha without doing anything wrong, how's that? By freeing her? Then why should he marry her and do something wrong? The Miches Chinuch, quoting the Beis Meir, says, from here we see that the isser of getting married to a chai v'lav and getting married to somebody that you're not supposed to get married to is not just limited to actually consummating the marriage with an Nisuin. Because the Gemara could have said that there was only Erisin, and the Erisin is not the Avera. From here says the Mechas Chinuch, even the Erisin with a Chayv Elavin should not be done. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, what happened here, that indeed, if the owner would marry the Shukha Kananis by himself and give her a Shtar Erisin, that would be a very strong proof that he freed her. Because as we just explained, why would he do an Avera if he doesn't have to? Hachmai Skinin, Damala, in a case where he gave it a Shtar Asirin, Shtar Erisin, and he told it, Tziboy, use this Shtar to become free, Viskachiboy. And he also said that this will be the Shtar Erisin. Ramei Sover, Yesh Beloshen Azeh, by right, so what is the wording, says the Gemara of a Shtar Shichra? What is the wording of a Shtar Erisin? Harei Mekdeshesli. So it doesn't speak anything about getting married, getting freed. But Ramei says that when you write Harei At Mekdeshesli, what you're also writing is that she should go free. Why is that automatically included, explains Rameyer. Because since you're not allowed to marry a Shivcha, so obviously you're freeing her, so you should be able to marry her. Rabbanan Sari, but the Rabbanan's opinion is, Ein B'loshen Azeh Loshen Shichra. Maybe that's your intention, but it doesn't say that you're freeing her. And if it doesn't say that you're freeing her, we cannot say that that's what he meant. So Taisus Masech Divams asks a question. The halacha is that before an individual becomes an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha Kenanis, they have to go to the mikvah. But after they're freed, they have to go to the mikvah again, because now they're becoming full-fledged members of Klal Yisrael. So even according to Rameya, asked Taisus, that yes, he's giving her the Shtar Shichur, and the Shtar Shichur Rameya holds includes in it a Shtar Erisin, but how could that work? Doesn't she have to go to the mikvah? So Taisus says there that she asked her to go to the mikvah before she, that the case here is that she already went to the mikvah before she actually received the Shtar Shichur. That means with the anticipation that she's getting the Shtar Shichur, that's based on that anticipation, she went to the mikvah. That's how Taisus ends. But there's a beautiful vart from Reb Chaim Briska Zatzal. Reb Chaim Briska says that this halacha, that an Eved Kenani has to go to the mikvah before he becomes an Eved Kenani, and then has to go to the mikvah again, says Reb Chaim Briska, is only by an Eved Kenani. Why is that the case? So explains Reb Chaim Briska, because as we've learned in our shiurim, an Eved Kenani is only obligated to do the mitzvahs that a woman is obligated, and therefore he's exempt from mitzvahs asei shezman groma. When the Eved Kenani gets freed, so now he's in a different level. He's going to have to do all mitzvahs like a Jewish man. Because he's coming to a new level, a different level, the halacha requires that he should go to the mikveh again. Whereas a Shivcha Kenanis is obligated in all mitzvahs as women are, as Jewish women are. And then when she's freed, it doesn't change her status really as far as Shmiras mitzvahs are concerned, because the same mitzvahs that she's going to have to do now, she already had to do. Therefore, Reb Chaim Briska suggests that even though an Eved Kenani, after he's freed, has to go to the mikveh before he becomes a full-fledged Jew, that halacha doesn't apply to a Shivcha Kenanis. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei Rabbi Shuben Levi. Eved Shaniach Tefillin B'fnei Rabbi. If an Eved puts on Tefillin in front of his owner, Yoytze L'Cheres. Because women, men, Avadim Kenanim, as we just said, are not obligated to put on tefillin, because Eved Kenani has the same status as a woman. So it's a mitzvah seis shezman groima. So they normally don't put on tefillin. And if his owner sees that he put on tefillin, that's a proof. The fact that he put on tefillin, that is the proof that he's free. So the Rishonim point out that we learned previously that the halacha is that amafka avdoi tzorach get shichur. That if somebody makes his Eved Hefker, he still has to give him a Shtar Shichur. And as we learned, and Rashi explains, that even though he's not allowed to marry Bas Yisro without the Shtar Shichur, he will not be allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis because he's not a full-fledged Eved Kanani anymore either. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos' opinion is that until he receives a Shtar Shichur, he's a full-fledged Eved Kanani. We just learned that if the Eved Kanani put, if the owner put on tefillin for his Eved Kanani, it's a proof that he was freed. Says Tosfos that even though technically women and avodim are not forbidden to put on tefillin, nor are they even forbidden from making a bracha, but the fact that they are putting on tefillin, since it's uncommon that they should put on tefillin, is a proof that they have been freed. The Gerash Yerachim, however, says that we know that the opinion of the Rambam is that a woman who's not obligated in a mitzvah shouldn't make a mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam, for example, says that if a woman, or in the time of Avodim, would take Dalaminim, they can't make a bracha, because they can't say, Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivonu, that we were commanded when they weren't commanded. So if that's the case, the Gemara here, according to the Rambam, must be speaking about a case where he made the bracha. In other words, the fact that he made a bracha, which normally an Eved is not allowed to do according to Rambam, is a proof that he was freed, because otherwise the Rambam would say he would not be allowed to make a bracha. But asked the Gerash Yerachim, given out what we just said, maybe putting on tefillin is a case where the owner was mafkir him, but didn't give him a shtar shichur. So according to Tosfos, there's no such a question. Because Tosfos says without the shtar shichur, he's a full-fledged Eved Kanani. But according to Rashi, who says that once the owner made him hefker, although he's not really considered a full-fledged Yisrael until he gets a shtar shichur, but he's still not considered an Eved Kanani. So maybe that's the person that we're speaking about. Why is putting on tefillin, asked the Gerash Yerachim, according to Rashi, a raya that he's free? It shouldn't be a raya that he's free completely. It should maybe be only a raya that the owner was mafke him. So answers the Gerash Yerachim, it must be that Rashi agrees with the Rambam. And that Rashi's opinion is that one who's not obligated in the mitzvah is not allowed to say the bracha. If Rashi holds like the Rambam, that if you're not obligated in the mitzvah, you're not allowed to say the bracha, we'll explain that the Gemara here is speaking about a case where the owner saw him putting on tefillin and making a bracha. And if he wasn't free, like the Rambam says, he wouldn't be able to make a bracha. The fact that he made a bracha is clearly an indication that he was completely freed, not just was an eved, that the owner was mafker without a shtar shichur. The Chedush Yerim explains that we know that the Anshei Shechem died, because the halacha is that they had a bris milah, and a goy shemal, a person who's not obligated to have a bris milah and has a bris milah, is chayiv misa. Why is he chayiv misa? Why do Chazal say that he's chayiv misa? So the Paradis Yosef explains, because the bris milah is an ois that is special between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if somebody who's not supposed to have a bris milah has a bris milah, it's as if he's stealing our special ois that we have between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he explains our Gemara is the same. The fact that he put on tefillin, if he wasn't free, he doesn't have to wear tefillin. He's not allowed to wear tefillin because he's stealing something that belongs to us. And there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, it's the Rambam in Perek Ches Helchus Avodim, Halacha Yud Zayin, says that Eved Shasir Rabbi Bas Chayrim, the Gemara that we're learning, if an owner marries off his Eved to a regular Jewish woman, or Shaniach Loi Rabbi Tefillin Baroshai, or he's put on his tefillin on his head. So the question is, why did he have to say tefillin shabaroi shoy? Why isn't any tefillin a raya? So I saw that the Sefer Daf Aladaf explains that the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'roh kalei am ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra alech of yor memecha, v'omer belozor, eilen tefillin shabaroi shoy. What are the tefillin that signify the special relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are the tefillin shebaraish. So now, we just said the fact that an Eved puts on tefillin, if he's not supposed to wear tefillin, he's stealing. He's not wearing, it doesn't belong to him. But where, by which tefillin is this manifested? It's manifested by Eilu tefillin shebaraish. That's why the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, is careful to say that we're talking about the tefillin shebaraish, which something that the Rambam, which the Avodim, if this person is not yet Jewish, should not be putting on. Meisvei asked the Gemara, if you have a case, Shalavim men a rabbi, if an owner borrowed money from his Eved Kanani, Oish asked the rabbi Apotropis, or his owner made him the administrator over some assets, which is not something that's usually given over to Avodim, Oish aneir tefillin b'fnei rabbi, or he put on tefillin in front of his Rebbe, Oish akar shalosh psukim beis haknesset b'fnei rabbi, or he got an aliyah with three psukim, and the owner didn't say anything, hareze lo yeitze l'cheiris, it's not a proof that he was freed. How do we reconcile this with what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi just taught us? Says the Gemara, there's a difference. It's a difference if he just put on the tefillin. Maybe if he put on the tefillin himself, it's not an indication that that's what his owner is agreeable to. But Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Sheila, Kshirabbi Hiniach Lo Tefillin. If the owner put on tefillin, that's very much a proof that he is that the owner freed him. It's an interesting Shaila that I saw that Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses where there's a person who's an Avelis. He lost a parent, and he normally doesn't come to shul. He's normally not that observant at all. And the question that was asked to Rav Zilberstein by this person, he says that he's under time constraint and he doesn't have time to say Krishma, put on tefillin, and also say Kaddish. And he's actually anxious to say Kaddish out of respect to his deceased parent. Should he say the Kaddish or put on tefillin? And Rav Zilberstein quotes his father-in-law, Zatzal, Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says to him, it's simple and obvious that it's preferable that he should put on the tefillin. Tefillin, as we're learning, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Tefillin is the proof of the special bond that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kaddish is important, but not to that level. Says the Gemara, Kasser of Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Misha Amar B'shas Misasai. If somebody says as he's passing away, Ploini Shifchasi, I had this Shifcha, I don't want that my family should treat her as a shifcha after I pass away. Is the halacha? Kaisen is a yarshim. We force the yarshim, the kaisen to get shechra, and they have to free her. Amru, says the Gemara, Amru l'fana Rav Ami Rav Asi. So Rav Ami Rav Asi said to him, Rebbe, why is this necessary? Why does this mean that he was meshachar her? Yatam now. That this doesn't make her free to the degree that her children wouldn't be avodim. So why are they forced to free her? Says the Gemara. If somebody said at the time of his passing, she was always devoted to me. I want her to be satisfied after I pass away, meaning free her. We have to satisfy her. Why? My tam mitzvah kaim devrei meis. And from here, Tosfos says, we see that the halacha is that Bezdin forced people to do mitzvahs. What does it mean that Bezdin forced people to do mitzvahs? Even mitzvahs the rabbonin. Because the mitzvah of mitzvah kaim devrei meis is only a mitzvah the rabbonin. And the Bezdin still forces him to do mitzvah kaim divrei hames. An Eved Kanani is, as we've been learning over and over, particularly in our previous year, when somebody owns an Eved Kanani, there are two aspects to that ownership. One is a kinyan mamon, it's a financial ownership, and one is a kinyan iser, the halachas that come with Eved Kanani. Says the Gemara, if somebody is mafka is Eved Kanani, Oisa Eved in Lo Tekanum. Now, this Eved is in limbo. My tama why? Gufalei Kanilei. The financial aspect of his ownership has been terminated. The reason it's been terminated is because he was mafka him. However, Isur de Kigabe, the Isser element of the ownership still remained. Isur le Matzah Maklinle, and that can't just be terminated with a shtar. Amalei Ravesh with a shtar shikhr. Amalei Ravashi le Meima, Vama Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Vama Rabchia Bar Avin Amar Rav, Echadze Vechadze, whether you were mafkir nevid, we learned this in Daf Lamed Ches on the base, or whether you were magdish nevid, Yotz Lecheris, but Tzarech got shikhr. So we see that a shtar shikhr is strong enough just to terminate the Isser element of the relationship. Amalei, so Maimon says, what those Amaroyim meant to say was Tzarech, he needs a shtar shikhr to terminate the relationship, but it won't be a helpful v'elay to Kana. But now, there's a different version. He can't marry a shivcha nor a bas chayin. My tama gufei lekanalei. The kinyan mamon doesn't exist. Isuri de kabei. He has still the iser. That kinyan iser remains. The isuri lebrei lemaris. A person does not have the ability of giving that over. The person does not have the ability to give that over to his children, and therefore he's in limbo. That if we learned previously that if an owner said to his children when he was dying that I don't want you to work with my shivcha, the halacha is that we forced him to write a shtar shikhra. Now, doesn't it mean that when he said regarding his shivcha, al yishtab deba, what he meant to do was to terminate the financial relationship. And we still see that even though the financial relationship has been terminated, you could still write a shtar shikhr. And you see that that part of the relationship could be independently maintained. Answers the Gemara, the Rav Dimi, where Rav Dimi said the name of Rav Yochanan, Tuusihi. That is a mistake, because he never used the word shikhr. Why are you saying it's a mistake? The Le'amra B'loshan shikhr, that he didn't say the word shikhr, and if the word shikhr isn't mentioned, that doesn't terminate the relationship. But what is clearly the indication? That if the father, ha'amra b'loshen shikhr, had the father used the word shikhr, that, in other words, he would have said, harayat m'shukhreris, he would have said to harayat b'scherim, ha'chinami, Rav Ami would, Rav Asi would agree, that under those circumstances, the financial element of their relationship has been terminated. The Isser element of the relationship goes to the children, and the children should now give a shtar shikhr, even though there is no financial relationship left over. So isn't this clearly an indication that you can write a shtar shikhr even when there is no financial relationship? So I hold like Rav Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, that Rabbi Yochanan never said this. Rabbi Yochanan spoke about a case where he said that I'm not freeing her. He left it over completely to the children, that if they feel that this is my feeling, she was always so devoted and always so nice to me, and it would be nice that you should free her. But he didn't free her himself. Since the owner did not free him himself, he left it completely up to the children. So the children now have both elements of the relationship still intact, the financial element and the Isser element, and that's why they can write a shtar shikhr. Says the Gemara, Hahu discarded the Avdi. There was a city where Avadim Kananim resided that was belonged to Yisraelim. There's Dam Lav Kachovim, that they sold the Avadim Kananim to Avdi Kachovim. And we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Daf Mem Gimel and Mebeza Mitzvashem, that Amoich Avdel Eved Kachavim, that if you sell your Eved Kanani to Akum, Yoitza Eved Lecheris, that Eved goes free. Why? That because at that moment, the financial ownership ends, and all that's left is the Issel element. And that for that you need a Shtar Shikhra. And what happened was, Kolo Marvis Abasroi, their owner, the goyim who bought them passed away. Asla kamei de Ravina, so the avadim came to Ravina that they want to be able to get married, and they were in limbo. They couldn't marry shvachos because they didn't have the financial ownership anymore, but they couldn't marry Bas Yisrael. Amalu zila hadri abeim ravasa kamoi. Go find the children of your original owners. V'yichtavu legita charusa. They should write a shtash shechur. Amalei rabbanan ravina. But asked, so rabbanan asked ravina, but haven't we learned in our shir that amar mei ma'mafka ma'avdei umeis oisa evad elein takana, that he's in limbo because he's no longer able to get a shtash shechur. Amalu, I'm not Rav Dimi Sfirlei. I hold like Rav Dimi, who said that if the owner said by the time of death that this shivcha should no longer be a shivcha, the halacha is that they can write a shtar shichur, that the children can write a shtar shichur, even though the financial part of the relationship of the owner and the eved has stopped. Amalei, so Chum said to Rav Dimi Tusahi, didn't we say earlier that Rav Ami and Rav Asi determined that what Rav Dimi said was wrong? Amalei, so Ravina said, "My tuusa, the loy amra is loshin shichra, that he didn't say the loshin shichra, and that's why. Why does it mean that the owner freely freed her? But what did we learn? Hamra, the loshin shichra. How he used that wording? Had he said to harayat baschayim harayat mishachares? Or in our Gemara, when the Vodim Kanana was sold to Akum, the financial, the mammon element" has terminated, and at that point, you still can write a shtar shichur, and that's the halacha, the hilchos karavina, that even if there's only the element of iser left over, you could still write a shtar shichur. Says the Gemara, who after the betray, there was an old Eved Kanani that was owned by two people. Kam chad menai v'shachar lepalgei. And one of them went and freed him from his half. And this is going to be the sugya of our coming shir in Mitzvah Shem, the case of an individual who's a chatzi evet chatzi ben chayrim. One owner freed him, the other owner did not free him. Amma idach, the other owner said, hashtashmi rabbanim, the chachamim will hear what this evet status is, what this individual status is, and as we're going to learn, they're going to force me to free him. Master minoy. So they're going to force me to free him. I don't want to free him. So what did he do? Ozel akne lebnoya katan. He went and gave over ownership of this Eved to his young son. And he knew that if the young son is the owner, the Chachamim cannot force the young son to free him. Says the Gemara, Shalcher Rav Yosef Reid Rav Lekamed Rav Papa. So Rav Papa, Rav Yosef Reid Rav sent this Shailu to Rav Papa. Shalach kash osa. The same that he did, which he did the wrong thing by trying this trick of giving over his half to his young son. Ken Yosalai, Kamula Yoshalai Barosha. He played with this kind of a trick. We're going to pay him back. Anon Kimle Beyanuka, we know children, the Makvedatil Gabzuzi. It's very easy to get them excited over a few pennies, a few coins. Makminalei Apotropis. We're going to appoint Apotropis for the son, Umakishle Zuzi, and we're going to jingle some coins for Kosle Gita de Charusa Lishmei, and then this person will give him an Ishtar Shechur. So Rashi says, how could a cotton write Ishtar Shechur? He's a cotton. So Rashi says that we have orphan and chas, that the halacha is that a cotton shigil onus aputus, a boy at the age of 12, a girl at the age of 11, who are intelligent, can their transactions are considered halachically valid. And that's why we'll get the cotton to write. Tosfos gives a different explanation, two different ways of learning that explanation, but Tosfos basically says that what's going to happen here is that since the Beis Din appointed an apotropos, the Beis Din appointing an apotropos gives the apotropos a lot of authority. And included in the authority that the apotropos has is that he could free the Eved. Tana bar ha'ima, sisi pleni avdi ben chayrim. If somebody says, I freed my slave, I osi ben chayrim, I areyu ben chayrim, in all these cases, arey ben chayrim. But if he says, as sena ben chayrim, I will make him free, Rabbi Amakana, that he does come free, that means that he's freeing him. V'chamar m'loy kana. Because it only means an obligation, but it doesn't mean that he actually did it. Amar Rav Yochanan, but all of these wordings are only effective v'kulim b'shtar. If he put into shtar shekhar. Tana baran. Hanayim in the sati sadi pliny l'pliny. Somebody said he gave this field to this person. The sunu pliny harei shloi. Again, all of these are rei shloi. That's a proof that it belongs to the person I gifted it to. However, if I said at I wrote at nenu l'pliny, rameya mekana chama meloi kana, because according to the chama again, it's only a promise. It doesn't really mean that he fulfilled it. And again, says Rabbi Yochanan, all of these things would only be effective if they were written in a shtar. Tana Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, I'm a sisi pliny avdi ben chayrim. If somebody says, I made my evra ben chayrim, vu'ama loyasani. And he says, no, it's not true. Chashinan, we need to be concerned, says the Gemara, shem aziko aydei acher. The reason that the evra kanani doesn't know that he was freed is because the owner gave the shtar shikra to somebody else on behalf of the evid. And therefore, even though the evid may not be aware that he's free, he's really free. But if the way the owner expresses himself is not only did I write a shtar shikra to my evid kanani, but I actually gave it to him, and he says it's just not true, then the halacha is then the evid is believed, because we have a case, this is a case that Haidos Baldin Kamei Edom. So Taisva says that there are two Balidinim, there are two parties to this case, the owner and the Evid. And we're applying the concept of Haidos Baldin Kamei Edom Dami. So ask Taisva, why are we applying it more to the Evid than to the owner? So Taisva answers, every Evid wants to presumably be free. So if the Evid is saying that he's not free, it must be that he's the one that's saying the truth. Similarly, says the Gemara, somebody says, I gave this property to someone, and he says it's not true. So again, maybe he gave it to that person just through giving a gift to someone else to take it on his behalf, and the receiver is just not aware that this has happened. But if he says, that I actually gave it to him, so this again is a case of a dos baldin kamei edim dami, and if the person says, I never got it, he never got it. Continues the Gemara. Mi eichel peiris. We're in a situation where we have a situation where the owner of the field says, I gave it to this person, and the person says, I never received it. Who is going to get the peiris of that field? Or his daima, nois and eichel peiris. Since, as we said, we believe the one who's saying I never got the field, means we believe him completely. Meaning that we believe him completely means that he doesn't get to eat, that it's not his, and he doesn't get to eat the peiris. The original owner continues eating the peiris. Rav Avraham Mishalshin, that's a peiris. We leave the peiris by a third party until we're able to finally resolve what happened here. V'loy pigi. Haba Abba, where Rav Chisda says that the person who gave the gift eats the peiris, then, so since it was the father who was the one that said this, and we're not believing him, so now it's his. But Haba Bra, if it's his son, and he died, so then we're not so clear. And in such a case, since we're not clear, it's a suffix, and as we just learned on the suffix, we leave it in abeyance until we know what to do. Agamar said that the fact that an Evid eats, the fact that an Evid got an Aliyah, it may be a raya that is free. And the question is, when we speak about, and because the way we explained it is because, as we've been learning, women are only obligated in mitzvahs, like evadma only mechuyev in mitzvahs, like noshim, and therefore women are not chayev in kriyas haTorah, so to our aveirim, so to avadim. So the Marsham in the Das Torah has, based on this Gemara, question, what should women do by Kriyas HaTorah? There are some people that suggest that women who are exempt from Kriyas HaTorah should go out by Kriyas HaTorah. However, that the Chidah says that it's a good minig that women should not stay by Kriyas HaTorah, they, women should not stay by Kriyas HaTorah, and even women who come to shul should not make it a firm minig. But the Mishnah Brura says, and the Mishnah Brura says the same thing, and so too says the Aruch HaShulchan, that Noshim are not mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah, and our Gemara seems very much to be a raya to that opinion.